Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Felon Debrief, a weekly look at major criminal cases and investigations from across Australia. Each episode, we break down the latest developments in ongoing investigations, court proceedings, and cold cases. In episode 2, we delve into a week that has seen violence, tragedy, and shocking developments unfold across Australia. In Victoria's High Country, a grim milestone, it has been 1 month since two police officers were shot dead during what should have been a routine warrant. On August 26th, Detective Leading Senior Constable Neil Thompson, 59, and Senior Constable Vadim Dewat Hotart, just 29 years old, arrived at a rural property in Porepunkah to question 56-year-old Desi Freeman. Instead, they were met with gunfire. Police allege Freeman used a high-powered rifle, striking both men fatally before disappearing into the bush. The response was immediate and immense. One of the largest manhunts Victoria Police has mounted in decades. More than 200 officers, drones and helicopters scoured alpine ridges and thick scrub. And yet, no sign of Freeman. In press conferences, police admit frustration. Each passing day without capture is painful for the families of the fallen and a reminder to officers across the state of the risks inherent in their work. The fear now is twofold: that Freeman has perished in the bush, his body undiscovered, or worse, that he remains alive, armed, and prepared to kill again. From the mountains of Victoria to the suburbs of Sydney, a barber involved in a brutal assault has been released on bail. Adam Abdul Hamid faces charges over a gang rape that allegedly lasted more than 6 hours. The victim, a young woman, told police she was restrained and repeatedly assaulted by multiple men inside a home in southwestern Sydney. Prosecutors described the attack as degrading and sadistic, but this week a judge ruled Abdul Hamid did not pose an unacceptable risk to the community. He was granted conditional release, required to report to police, and abide by strict restrictions. For the victim, it is another ordeal. Knowing one of her accused attackers is back on the streets, advocacy groups condemned the decision, saying the seriousness of the allegations should have kept Abdul Hamid in custody until trial. North of Brisbane, a domestic incident erupted into near tragedy. At a home in Burpengary, police allege a 24-year-old woman stabbed a man in his 20s during a late-night confrontation. Emergency crews arrived to find him bleeding heavily from chest and abdominal wounds. He was rushed to hospital in a critical condition. Neighbours told local media they were shocked by the commotion, flashing lights, frantic paramedics, and detectives combing the property into the early hours. The woman now faces charges of attempted murder and acts intended to cause grievous bodily harm. She has been remanded in custody. Police say the attack was not random, but the culmination of escalating conflict. Elsewhere in Queensland, gunfire shattered the quiet of Slacks Creek in Brisbane's southeast. A man in his 30s was shot during what detectives describe as a dispute over drugs and money. He survived, but with significant injuries. Two men were quickly taken into custody, facing firearms and attempted murder charges, yet a female suspect, believed to have also discharged a weapon, remains at large. Police have urged her to come forward, warning she is armed and dangerous. For residents, the shooting is another sign of violent dispute spilling into suburban streets, leaving bystanders vulnerable. In New South Wales, detectives are investigating the deaths of two people inside a home just north of Coffs Harbour. Inside the property, officers found the bodies of 61-year-old Carolyn Campbell and a man in his 60s. Friends describe Carolyn as a dedicated mother and an avid hiker, well known in local bushwalking groups. The deaths are being treated as suspicious. Forensic teams remain at the scene, combing through evidence. Police are tight-lipped about possible motives, but say they are piecing together the pair's final hours. For a small community, the sudden loss of a familiar face has left many unsettled and grieving. Further north in Logan, south of Brisbane, a woman in her 40s is clinging to life after being struck by an allegedly stolen car. Police allege a group of teenagers drove the vehicle through suburban streets, before hitting the woman. Instead of stopping, they fled. A police helicopter tracked the car for more than half an hour up the M1 before officers brought it to a halt. Several teenagers were arrested. The woman remains in hospital in critical condition. This case has reignited fierce debate in Queensland about youth crime, police pursuits, and whether tougher penalties are needed to deter teenage offenders. In Melbourne, grief and shock gripped the community following a machete attack in Cobblebank earlier this month that claimed the lives of two teenagers. At Resurrection Catholic Church in Kings Park, more than 1,000 mourners dressed in white gathered to farewell 15-year-old Dao Akwing. Friends and family remembered him as bright, kind-hearted, and full of potential, a young man who dreamed of becoming a doctor. Chola Chiek, another teenager, was killed alongside Dao Akwing in the same violent incident. His memorial service was held the day prior, with family, friends, and the wider community coming together to mourn his life. Police have said the tragedy involved complex circumstances among local youths, and five teenagers have been charged with the murders. The attack has prompted renewed calls for programs addressing youth violence and support in vulnerable communities. The grief has been compounded by the young ages of both victims and the violent nature of their deaths. Authorities continue to investigate the full circumstances. The memorials were a mix of sorrow and remembrance, a community trying to process senseless violence while honoring the lives lost. In Western Australia's remote Midwest, a decade-old mystery continues to haunt authorities and the local community. Ray and Jenny Kaylett, a married couple from Beverley, went missing in March 2015 while prospecting near Sandstone, northeast of Perth. 3 weeks later, Ray's body was discovered at the bottom of a mineshaft. A 2021 coroner's inquest ruled his death a homicide and formally declared Jenny deceased, though her remains have never been found. This week, WA police returned to the area, undertaking extensive searches of the surrounding goldfields, including more than 300 mineshafts, some over 12 metres deep and over a century old. Investigators are looking for several items of interest linked to the case, including Jenny's work boots and gloves, using specialised equipment to inspect the unstable terrain safely. Authorities hope this renewed effort will finally uncover answers and bring long overdue closure to a case that has gripped the region for 10 years. And finally, to Sydney, where a courtroom erupted into chaos following the conviction of Paul Jason Sultana. Sultana, 35, was found guilty by Justice Peter Garling of the murder of 28-year-old Dana Isaac, a mother of two from Western Sydney. The killing occurred in January 2023, when Dana's body was discovered in her Penrith apartment with facial injuries and two ligatures around her neck. Forensic evidence confirmed she had been strangled, with Sultana's DNA on the cord, and also revealed post-mortem sexual interference. Moments after the jury delivered its guilty verdict, Sultana self-harmed using a razor blade smuggled into the courtroom. Officers restrained him as he resisted violently, and he was bloodied and taken to St. Vincent's Hospital. The incident prompted an investigation into courtroom security by New South Wales Corrective Services. The trial revealed the brutal details of Dana's final moments, including that Sultana did not call emergency services and attempted to cover his tracks, including burning her car and altering his appearance. For the victim's family, the verdict brought relief, but not closure. Sultana now awaits sentencing, where the court will weigh the severity of his actions against any hope of rehabilitation. That concludes this week's episode of Felon Debrief. Be sure to tune in next week for another update on the latest crime news and developments shaping the country.
True Crime Podcast fans, it's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really got to check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.